Dear friends in Christ Jesus, we're going to do something a little different for this homily. Normally you would see me up there, but we're going to do the evangelical thing today. I'm going to talk to you from here because I want this to be personal. It's about you, but most of all, it's about Him and how you will think of Him for the rest of your life now that you are a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, or will be a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. So let's talk about history. I know that when I was 14 years old, I didn't like history. Now that I'm 56 years old, I love history. All pastors love history because history teaches us a lesson. Well, what's the history of Israel? You may remember the history of Israel. They were to call on the name of the Lord. But did they call on the name of the Lord? No. What's the sign of Israel's history? They rejected their Messiah. You heard about that today. And especially in the season of Lent, this is what the crown of thorns reminds us of, that Jesus came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. Rather, they put Him to death. So therefore, what followed, as you heard from the gospel lesson this morning, what followed was tragedy. The Jews thought that the temple was the end of all things, that there at the temple, there you met God. What did Jesus tell the Jews? Not one stone will be left on top of another. The temple was destroyed. That's because there is only one lasting temple, and that temple is in heaven. Jesus Christ, your King. Jesus Christ, your Lord. So therefore, what happened to Israel? They continued to follow the tragedy of following false hopes. There you go, Tom. I just got you out of hot water. Maybe, I'm not sure. So, they followed the tragedy of false hopes. So much so today, people follow the tragedy of false hopes. People are today even called to proclaim the name of Jesus, and all seven of you, beginning on the 27th of this month, you're going to be called to proclaim the name of Jesus. That is your mission as a Christian. Our mission is not to go out there and change the world. Our mission is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's what we're going to ask you to do. But what are the signs of world history? As you look around, I know at 14 years old, you don't pay attention to this, but you should. What are the signs that we are seeing today? War upon war upon war, as Jesus said. Earthquakes in various places. The love of man has become cold. There is hatred. There is anger. There is murder. There is warfare. All of this, God's judgment. He told us. Jesus told us right here in Matthew chapter 24. What about those natural catastrophes? If you've been paying attention, there have been earthquakes in various places, South America. There has been catastrophes, a missing airliner. Still, no one knows where it is. Even with all the technology that we have today, we cannot find a 777. A huge airplane suddenly vanishes. We can't find it. A catastrophe. There's also those man-made catastrophes. A young man goes into a school in Murrayville, Pennsylvania, and he begins stabbing his fellow students. Not to mention a man walking into a school in Connecticut and shooting preschool or kindergarten children. Just walked in the classroom and started shooting. That's a catastrophe. My dear friends, you're going to, as you grow older, as you go into your late teens and into your early 20s, you're going to see these things begin to multiply. Jesus told us it would happen. And you're going to live it. I'm going to live it. Grandpa and Grandma's going to live it. Mom and Dad's going to live it. Everyone here seeing you today to listen to you give answer to your Christian faith will live the same. So, now that you know the history of Israel and you know the history of today, what about the history of the church of whom you will be members of? The church is also called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're to do. That's what we're to be about. Yet, what are the signs of the church? Persecution. The church is under severe persecution and has been from the very beginning. And what is this persecution, which we've talked about in class, what does it cause? It's designed to create unbelief, to drive us into a thing called apostasy, to say that I am not a Christian. I am not a Christian, just so you can save your neck, which was the problem in the early church. The emperor gave an edict that you were to worship the emperor. And there were Christians who said, well, I'm not a Christian. I'll worship the emperor just so they could save their neck. Those people They disavowed the true king, Jesus. They disavowed him. They turned their back on him. What's another sign of the church today, which is rampant? False teachers. And with false teachers comes false teaching. False teaching is rampant in the church today. It is something that you, each and every one of you, will face. Even in school, you're confronted with these things. What? You're a Christian? What? You believe in Jesus? Why? He's not the Messiah. He's not the Savior. Yeah, he was a good teacher. He was a moral man, but he's not the Savior of the world. And how do you give answer to that? There's the false teaching today of individualism. I know you're being taught this in school. Me, myself, and I. What's important is what I do. No, the Christian faith says what's important is what you do for your neighbor. What you do is, and as you serve your neighbor, what you are doing, you are serving your true king. There is gospelless. There is no gospel being preached today. And therefore, the gospel is not being taught to any Christian who is in churches where there is no Christ. Rather, they are being taught, well, you need faith, or you need to give this amount of money, or you need to do this work or that work. Therefore, with this, there is a lack of repentance and there is a lack of contrition. As a matter of fact, I have met people who had no idea what repentance means, and they had no earthly idea what contrition means, let alone how to spell it. We are called to be a people of forgiveness. We are called to be a people, you will be called to be a people of repentance and contrition. So therefore, my young friends, what will you do and who will you proclaim? Will you be like Israel and turn your back on your Savior? Will you be like history and undergo all the temptations of this world and follow a God that is not God? Will you be like the signs of the church and fall into apostasy? Will you drift away from the church and never be seen again? Will you live a life of individualism? Will you, under persecution, disavow Jesus? Yes, Jesus is your Messiah. Jesus fulfilled all the promises and hopes that he made, and he fulfilled those promises and hopes for you and for mom and dad, for grandpa and grandma, for everyone here. Proclaim Jesus to this new age. All of you now are members of this new age. I hear a lot about it. And in this new age, you must understand that God will not be mocked. We heard it in the reading today. Judgment will come. God will be the judge, and his judgment is final. There's no appeal. There's no acquiescing. There's no hemming and hawing. There's no blaming someone else. We will stand before our judge, and he will either judge us according to the gospel, we talked about this in class, or he'll judge us according to the law. If you're judged according to the gospel, you're in heaven. If you're judged according to the law, you are in hell. And there's no two ways about it. There's no gray area. There's no fence sitting. There's no walking the fence or setting the fence. With God, it's either you are or you're not. So therefore, my young friends, only in Jesus will you live in this new age. When he returns, he will return as promised. And when he returns for this new age, you will be there with him. You will be there standing before him and confessing that he is your prophet, priest, and king. There's a little hint for you right there. Remember that, prophet, priest, and king. And he's also your Savior. Proclaim Jesus. In proclaiming Jesus, you're defeating the wiles of the devil and his lies. When you are proclaiming Jesus, you are kept safe and secure in the ark of the church. When you proclaim Jesus, you will have the resurrection and the life which he promised you. When you proclaim Jesus, you will be granted a blessed end. A blessed end in heaven with your Savior. So the question is, will you proclaim Jesus? Will you continue in your faith? Or will you go the way of the world? And if you go the way of the world, my dear friends, my dear young friends, there is no hope for you. So, proclaim Jesus. Come to church. Partake of his body and blood. Stay connected to the vine. And on that great last day, we will stand together and we will proclaim that Jesus is the Messiah.